Let's now turn to read God's Word, and our reading is this evening from the Old Testament and in the book of Genesis and chapter 43. Genesis and chapter 43. And the famine was sore in the land. And it came to pass, when they had eaten up the corn which they had brought out of Egypt, their father said unto them, Go again, buy us a little food. And Judah spake unto him, saying, The man did solemnly protest unto us, saying, You shall not see my face, except your brother be with you. If thou wilt send our brother with us, we will go down and buy thee food. But if thou wilt not send him, we will not go down. For the man said unto us, Ye shall not see my face, except your brother be with you. And Israel said, Wherefore dealt ye so ill with me, as to tell the man whether ye had yet a brother? And they said, The man asked us straitly of our state and of our kindred, saying, Is your father yet alive? Have ye another brother? And we told him according to the tenor of these words. Could we certainly know that he would say, Bring your brother down? And Judah said unto Israel his father, Send the lad with me, and we will arise and go, that we may live and not die, both we and thou, and also our little ones. I will be surety for him. Of my hand shalt thou require him. If I bring him not unto thee, and set him before thee, then let me bear the blame forever. For except we had lingered, surely now we had returned this second time. And their father Israel said unto them, If it must be so now, do this. Take of the best fruits of the land in your vessels, and carry down the man a present, a little balm, a little honey, spices and myrrh, nuts and almonds. And take double money in your hand, and the money that was brought again in the mouth of your sacks, carry it again in your hand. Peradventure it was an oversight. Take also your brother, and arise, go again unto the man. And God Almighty give you mercy before the man, that he may send away your other brother and Benjamin. If I be bereaved of my children, I am bereaved. And the men took that present, and they took double money in their hand and Benjamin, and rose up and went down to Egypt and stood before Joseph. And when Joseph saw Benjamin with them, he said to the ruler of his house, Bring these men home and slay and make ready, for these men shall dine with me at noon. And the man did as Joseph bade, and the man brought the men into Joseph's house. And the men were afraid because they were brought into Joseph's house. And they said, Because of the money that was returned in our sacks at the first time are we brought in, that he may seek occasion against us and fall upon us and take us for bondmen and our asses. And they came near to the steward of Joseph's house, and they communed with him at the door of the house, and said, O sir, we came indeed down at the first time to buy food, and it came to pass when we came to the inn that we opened our sacks, and behold, every man's money was in the mouth of his sack, our money in full weight, and we have brought it again in our hand. And other money have we brought down in our hand to buy food. We cannot tell who put our money in our sacks. And he said, Peace be to you. Fear not. Your God and the God of your father hath given you treasure in your sacks. I had your money. And he brought Simeon out unto him, unto them. And the man brought the men into Joseph's house and gave them water, and they washed their feet, and he gave them asses' provender. and they made ready the present against Joseph came at noon, for they heard that they should eat bread there. And when Joseph came home, they brought him the present which was in their hand into the house, and bowed themselves to him to the earth. And he asked them of their welfare and said, "Is your father well, the old man of whom ye spake? Is he yet alive?" And they answered, "Thy servant, our father, is in good health. He is yet alive." And they bowed down their heads and made obeisance. And he lifted up his eye and saw his brother Benjamin, his mother's son, and said, "Is this your younger brother of whom ye spake unto me?" And he said, "God be gracious unto thee, my son." And Joseph made haste, for his bowels did yearn upon his brother. And he sought where to weep, and he entered into his chamber and wept there. And he washed his face and went out and refrained himself and said, "Set on bread." And they set on for him by himself and for them by themselves and for the Egyptians which did eat with them by themselves, because the Egyptians might not eat bread with the Hebrews, for that is an abomination unto the Egyptians. And they sat before him, the firstborn according to his birthright, and the youngest according to his youth. And the men marveled one at another. And he took and sent messes unto them from before him. But Benjamin's mess was 5 times so much as any of theirs. And they drank and were merry with him. Amen. And may God add his blessing, granting to us understanding in the reading of his own holy and inspired word. Together again, let us worship our God, singing a portion this time from Psalm 77 and at verse 7. "Forever will the Lord cast off and gracious be no more. Forever is his mercy gone, fails his word evermore. 'Tis true that to be gracious the Lord forgotten hath, and that his tender mercies he has shut up in his wrath. Then did I say that surely this is mine infirmity. I'll mind the years of the right hand of him that is most high. Yea, I remember will the works performed by the Lord, the wonders done of old by thee I surely will record." Psalm 77, 7 through 11, 4 stanzas, "Forever will the Lord cast off." Would you turn back with me to the portion we read there together, to the book of Genesis and chapter 43, and we may read the first few verses of this chapter. "And the famine was sore in the land, and it came to pass when they had eaten up the corn which they had brought out of Egypt, their father said unto them, 'Go again, buy us a little food.' And Judah spake unto him, saying, 'The man did solemnly protest unto us, saying, You shall not see my face, except your brother be with you.'" These words which describe the way in which the Lord brought the people, the tribe, the family of Judah, up to Egypt for their blessing and their survival, the way in which the Lord worked in them to bring that about, the way in which the Lord breaks into them, into us, to be insistent and to get our attention. There are many different ways in which the Lord can indeed achieve that purpose, the way in which he can focus our minds on what is important. Nicodemus, remember, came by night to the Lord, and he came evidently with his own agenda and his own series of questions and the areas that he wanted to explore and to develop with the Lord, things that were important to him. But the words and the conversation had hardly started, even if they had started at all, when the Lord immediately cuts across all of that agenda and all of these purposes and all of these questions that he might have had in his mind. And he cuts across them and he says simply, "Behold, verily, verily, there is something that is much, much more important. Something that is much more significant than any of the questions that you have. Any of the questions and material that you might bring up. There is one great experience that is vital to you and to so many others. You must be born again." And so Nicodemus was challenged in a way that was totally surprising and unexpected. His thoughts were refocused. His thoughts were redirected. And it's the same often with ourselves, is it not? We can come and our mind can be rolling along in one direction. And through something that's said in a service, from a psalm, from a chapter, something breaks into our mind and into our life that totally ambushes us. And the Lord speaks to us through these things in a way that we could not even have anticipated. And it totally surprises us. We can see the same experience happening with Elijah. Elijah, we know his history, and he was a man that was mighty. He was used by God, and he was often exposed and seeing the mighty ways of the Lord and the Lord working on behalf of his name and reputation. He saw these dramatic works at the hands of the Lord. He saw the great displays of God's power. He was aware of the might of the Holy God. The way in which the Lord intervened on the stage, not just simply amongst his people, but he intervened on the international stage amongst nations. But then there was a problem. Elijah was distracted by the threats that Jezebel made that you've got 24 hours to live. And so Elijah goes off and he simply wants to die. And God met him in his need, supplied food and gave him sleep for the trip to Horeb. And there at Horeb, God met with him. But God did not speak to him, the scripture tells us, through an earthquake, through the fire, nor through the wind. But God met with him and spoke to him in a still, small voice. The Lord got his attention in a very surprising way. In the same way the Lord gets our attention. Yes, with Nicodemus we've already seen. But so often it's repeated with us in different ways. He gets our attention by the way he comes and meets with us and speaks with us. Bringing our mind back first and foremost to important things. Things that we've neglected and things that we've forgotten. The Lord will not tolerate any distractions. And as he dealt with these people in Genesis 43 and the family of Judah, so he deals with us. He had a controversy with these people for the better part of 22 years. But when we come to the portion here of chapter 43, it's a time of crisis. It's a time of closure. The problem has been drifting along for long enough. It's now going to be dealt with. And how does the Lord deal with it, with these people? We can see the experience of these people and we can see in them a reflection of the way the Lord might be dealing with ourselves and with other Christian people also. What is it that the Lord is doing with these people? well, we see there in verse 2, for example. It came to pass when they had eaten up all the corn which they had brought out of Egypt, their father said, go again, buy us a little food. The doors were closing round about these people. Their options were being cut back and cut down. Eventually they came to the point where they say, you've got to go to Egypt to get some more food. And that was one way the Lord was using to bring about this closure, but also bring about their attention to the problem that had been dormant for 22 years. We've spoken so often about this experience of closing doors as you walk down a corridor. The choice gets smaller and smaller and smaller. You might see five doors and the light coming from rooms into the corridor. Only five. You go on a little further down the stage in the scale of time and there's only three doors left open. And eventually the Lord brings us to the point where there's only one left. The Lord is using experiences in our life to get our attention focused on the one thing that's important. These people had returned from their first trip down to Egypt. He says, go again, repeat that trip. They've been once. They've been into Egypt, they've got out of Egypt. And they came out with bread. And in that way the pressure was lifted from them, because at least they had food for the time being. Ample food. The pressure on the problem had passed to another time. Oh yes, Simeon had been left in Egypt. That was one of the conditions that they had to meet. They had to leave Simeon behind, but that wasn't in their mind at this point. For their own comfort, they were prepared to brush these problems under the mat and to forget about them altogether. That's what had happened with Joseph. They had just simply disposed of him. And they weren't troubled. At least it didn't show that they were troubled. But that had been because they were out of Egypt and they didn't have to go back there. But if they had to go to Egypt, then the old memories would come back. They weren't prepared to face up to that. If they could get bread from any other source, if they could get bread from any other place, then they would search that out most diligently. And if they could find it, they wouldn't go to Egypt at all. But that was not what the Lord was doing. The Lord was closing the doors. The Lord was closing the doors down to Egypt. You've got to go. And of course the thoughts that were at the back of their minds of what had happened and what had been done there, these thoughts that once had been deliberately put on the back burner, these thoughts were now coming to the front of their minds. The Lord was taking them there. The Lord was closing down their choices. The Lord was closing doors of choice to them so that they would focus upon the one issue, the crisis issue that was a conflict between them and the Lord God Almighty. The famine was making them face up to their problem they had not yet solved. Simeon was only part of that problem. The much bigger problem was how they had treated Joseph. There's a problem, and the Lord is closing doors to make them face up to it. And there we have something which perhaps gives us an understanding of our own experience, Christian experience, in the hands of the Lord. A problem there might be in our life, a problem that has to be addressed, but we're reluctant to address it. We're slow to face up to it, and if we can escape it and duck and dive from it, we will do that very thing. The first skirmish has taken place. The Lord has brought us just to look at it in the first time round. It's come. It's gone. There's no great consequence for ourselves from that first skirmish. And so we've got a sense of relief and respite. But it hasn't gone away. We managed to get out. But it's not over. The Lord is still at work in our life, as he is in the life of these, the brothers of Joseph. He closed down doors to restrict their maneuvering room. He closed down doors to box them in and shut them in tight. The same way the Lord will deal with us. More and more, drawing us into the confrontation situation over an issue that has to be dealt with. 22 years it's been dormant. Suddenly it comes back into life. The Lord bringing them face to face with it. He's getting their minds focused. He's getting their ears tuned. He's getting their attention directed at this problem that has yet to be solved. And there's only one door left for it. You've got to go to Egypt if you're going to get any more food. But they're afraid. There might be plenty of food there. But they also know what is beyond that door. The Lord is closing down options to take them there. And we can take that. Yes, we've set out the principle of the way the Lord works. We can see it in its application to ourselves, to our nation. God has been good to us. We've enjoyed a good measure of good things from his hand in our life. But as we look at our nation and the life of our nation, we've got to ask ourselves, at what cost has that prosperity been obtained? We've obtained good things at the expense of spirituality. Things have come to a low pass amongst us as a nation. The Lord has been ignored, disregarded, and set to one side. And nothing has been allowed to interfere with the pursuit of these things that we put our mind to and set our hearts on. Our minds have been, as a nation, limited to the here and now, what's going on round about us. But now, after perhaps many years, the Lord will speak once again. He will speak afresh, powerfully. The Lord will speak perhaps to us again as a nation to get our attention. And as he does so, we hear a sound in the background. We hear the sound of closing doors. The Lord is shutting down our options as a nation or as individuals. And he's focusing our mind and bringing to our memory and our attention things that we've neglected for so long. The spiritual dimension and the spiritual aspects of life. Plenty of things we've had in the past, but now they've been removed and things have started to get tight. And the Lord is speaking through these things to us. closing doors, getting our attention, bringing our minds to focus on what is important and urgent and significant. The spiritual qualities and history of our history are that we've allowed to go by the one side. And the doors are closing, perhaps to focus back on these things we've neglected. So yes, the first thing that we notice here, the way the Lord focuses the mind through closing these doors and options for them. But what else does the Lord do here? The Lord has another way of working with them that we can see with ourselves. Because not only does the Lord close doors, but the Lord also opens cupboards. Cupboards where skeletons have long been hidden away. Cupboards where things of the past have been left to gather the dust of antiquity upon them. For 22 years, things have been quiet and silent. There's been no real peace, of course, because there's always been that shadow from the past. One person, one name, Joseph. He's never been mentioned until now, but here Jacob mentions Egypt. Go to chapter 42 in the very first verse. Now, when Jacob saw that there was corn in Egypt, Jacob said unto his sons, "Why do you look one upon the other?" There was something in the body language of these, the brothers, as soon as Egypt was mentioned, that was noted by their father. They had to realize the enormity of what they had done. They had to realize what skeletons were in their cupboard and what they had done to Joseph. The way the Lord brought them, yes, they were accused of being spies. And of course, Joseph himself knew what his prison would do to them. He'd been in prison for 13 years. And he knew the way in which being in prison focused the mind on things that had been done. And so he had them put there as well. The cupboard was being opened and the history was coming out. Open cupboards. Perhaps that's the way the Lord again deals with ourselves. We see there our own experience reflected there. Children have been brought up. Did all that we could for them. But they might go off the rails. And there we have a reflection of the way in which perhaps we have treated the Lord. He has provided so much for us. He has looked over us and kept us. But then we have rebelled against him. And we taste in the way our children behave with us, the way we behave with the Lord. In trouble, perhaps we've gone to the Lord and asked him for help in a particular situation, and he's given that help to us. We've maybe bound ourselves with a vow and an oath, and he says, "Lord, help me and I'll do this. Help me and I'll go there." And we've tried ourselves in some way of promise. But when the pressure is over, we forget all that we've said. And we have that saying, what goes around comes around. And it may well be that that dealings with the Lord we've had are reflected in other people's dealings with us, where we've helped someone out. And we've waited long and listened often simply to hear that word of appreciation or simply thank you. But it never comes. And there we have an echo of our treatment of our Lord. 22 years of slumber. 22 years with dust upon it. But our conscience, yes, our conscience can easily go to sleep. And so therefore it needs to be constantly stimulated, constantly fed. And that's what the Lord was doing with these his people. Perhaps they thought they got over it and they got past it. When the Lord spoke to them first of all and they went down to Egypt and they got the bread and they came home, they might have thought that was the end of it. But that was only the Lord starting his work amongst them. We have Simeon kept. The money returned. Food for the journey. We have Benjamin eventually going down. We have him accused of stealing the cup. The full measure of grain and the money returned. We have all of the consequence poured out in its vivid application. What will all this do to the father? Grief. Death. At the loss of Benjamin. And these people, these brothers will be responsible for it all. The Lord opening cupboards, bringing out the old history. Bringing out the things that once were left dormant within. And the money. The money is there time and time again, seen at the center of all that is happening. They're going to buy bread. The money is returned, and that's again repeated for them. Another transaction all the while is lingering at the back of their minds. Money? Buying? Did we not sell Joseph for money? These people, the Lord speaking to them to begin with in moral tones when they were contemplating what to do with Joseph. Can we kill our brother? Dare we kill our brother? Are we guilty of shedding blood? And they did not pay attention to these arguments. Instead, all they says, we'll sell him and we'll get money for him. All they wanted was just simply to get rid of the dreamer. And now the Lord is speaking to them. He is speaking to them in the very same language that they used at that time. They were thinking of money and the rattle of coins in their hand. So now the Lord is speaking to them in the same language. Every time they heard the rattle, every time they saw the money in the top of their sack, every time there was an exchange or a deal done or a deal made, their conscience was being constantly prodded. There was an opening up of the past. Wave after wave after wave. Speaking to them clearly, plainly and powerfully of things that they thought were dead and buried. Opening cupboards with the food going to buy, with the coins they had to use for the transaction. They didn't understand what was happening. When you go simply to verse 28 of chapter 42, he said unto his brethren, my money is restored, and lo, it is even in my sack. And their heart failed them, and they were afraid, saying one to another, what is this that God hath done unto us? They couldn't understand what God was doing with them at that time. They couldn't understand what God's work amongst them was. The dust was being blown away, and their conscience, God's agent of working amongst them and amongst us, was making them aware of the enormity of what they had done. When we begin to discover what our lives and our hearts are like, when we begin to realize that God's hand is upon us and He's showing us what we're like, we may not, to begin with, understand what He's doing. We want relief and we want respite. And we want to pass from the bad news to the good news as quickly as possible. But there's no support for that kind of procedure here. What did Joseph do? Joseph did not tell them who he was on the first visit when Simeon was taken away. He didn't tell who he was when Benjamin arrived. He didn't even tell them when Benjamin was accused who he was. It was only when the effect of all of this was brought home and its effect upon Jacob, only then did he reveal that he was their brother. There were many, many points where he could have ended it all, but he didn't, because they had to learn the lesson. They had to be convicted, and they had to go through that process of coming to terms and facing up to the reality, the enormity of what they had done. They were not allowed to pass quickly out of and from that classroom of learning the bad news about themselves and what they had done. They had to feel and know and experience the full enormity of what they had done, the horrendous act they had committed. They had to know it. And there was no quick answer, and there was no quick deliverance for them. And the same stands true for the Lord's spiritual work amongst us. There are times in the testimony of God's people when we hear people being convicted and suffering conviction for a long time. We don't know why that might be when others are not just so long. But we can always see the deep appreciation which that produces when they do eventually experience deliverance from that conviction. And the one simple scriptural illustration we can use is the woman at the very end of Luke chapter 7. She who had much forgiven, the same loveth much. And if we're looking for that kind of devotion in the Christian today, to be promoted and to be developed, when we're looking for that kind of rich spirituality in our life and in our character, so often we can trace back its roots and its source to something similar to what that young woman went through in Luke 7, and to the process these brothers went through in Genesis 43. There was no quick fix, nor was there any quick deliverance. But when it did come, then you find all the more deeper is their joy in embracing Joseph, their lost brother. But they had to have the cupboards opened, and they had to have all of the skeletons of past 22 years taken out, faced up to, and acknowledged. So yes, there was closing doors and there was opening cupboards, but there was also something to encourage us as we close. There was the setting of a table. The Lord sets a table. Joseph set a table for these people. They were so bound up with themselves. They were so consumed by the guilt that they were going through, that the Lord was dealing with them. The fears that they had, that they passed by. And they missed out on the little signs of care and affection from Joseph. He, after all, he gave them extra food for their journey and extra food to come back home with. He, after all, returned the money to them. Even in this chapter, we read the way in which he provided food at the top table for them. He reunited them with Simeon. He looked after the animals and he always asked over their family. Just little things. But they were little things to indicate the love and the care that Joseph had for them. But they didn't see it. Not to begin with, anyway. When you come to the end of this chapter 43, you see the beginning of that dawning with them. The table was spread by Joseph. And there was a particular order to everybody as they sat down. On the one hand, there was the youngest. And on the other hand, there was the oldest. And so they sat. And we read there in verse 33, the firstborn according to his birthright and the youngest according to his birthright. And the men marveled one at another. Why did they marvel? They marveled because how did he know what order to put them in? How did he know what their birthdays were? How did this man, Joseph, know the order to put them out in? They didn't understand it fully, but there was one sign of who he was that they could pick up on. The brothers, they were there shown little signs to begin with of Joseph's care and affection to them. For a time it might be rough treatment. For a time Joseph was increasing their sorrow, quite legitimately so. They may be put in prison, they may be detaining Simeon. But yet beneath it all there was a love for the brothers. And we find time and again that he had to excuse himself and go out, lest his tears betrayed him. He was always looking for the way to show himself and show that love to them. He was always looking for that opportunity, but he wasn't going to do it quickly, and he wasn't going to do it easily. They had to go through that convicting experience of having the cupboards emptied, first of all. He kept himself until that work of conviction was complete. Then he revealed his love and affection to them, pouring it out on the family. He remembers later on in the experience in his history, when they come together, he says to all the Egyptians, out you go, away you go. Simply so that he's alone with his family. And there he tells them who he is. Sometimes we think that the Christian road is hard. There's a load of heavy things we've got to carry, and there's much that can discourage us. But there are also compensations along the way for us. But we need to look. We need to look to find them and to pick them up. because they are sometimes buried under so many other things. But even as we thought this morning of Jeremiah reminding himself of the loving kindness of the Lord and the way in which it was precious because he had discovered it, or at least he had remembered it himself. So it is with these people. When we find and pick up on these little signs the Lord gives us in our life, these little things, when he sets out a table and shows us his affection to his people, these things are more precious as we find them ourselves. Along the way, the Lord leaving little tokens of his interest and his love and his care to keep us from despair. The way the Lord deals then with sin in the life of his people, the way in which he closes doors and shuts down options, an issue that has to be addressed, the way in which he opens a cupboard and takes out the things that have gathered dust from our life for so long, but also in all of his dealings with us in that very process, hard and painful as it might be for us, we've got to also pick up on these little encouragements that he gives. That little insight and opening and revelation of his love and of his care to his people, even when they are going through difficult, hard processes to deal with sin in their life. The encouragement that he gives of his love, his interest, and of his care, when we may be going through hard spiritual times, when his concern for us and his discipline of us means that we've got to go through severe searching, reflection, and change. Not easy, nor quick, but the Lord is there often to encourage us with little things that we've got to pick up on for our own good and for our own encouragement. Let us pray. O Lord, our gracious God, we bless thee for the revelation that was given of thyself and of thy dealings with thy people, and for the way in which thou dost meet with thine own, even along that hard and difficult road. We ask of thee, O Lord, that we might be refreshed and revived as thy word sheds light upon our own experiences. And we ask, O Lord, that we might all the more be diligent in looking, searching, and finding these little tokens thou dost give of thy care and affection to encourage thine own along that way. Hear us, Lord, and bless us together then. And in all of our service and our worship this day, high privilege as we've enjoyed, Lord, forgive us our sin. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. We conclude this evening by singing from Psalm 37. Psalm 37 and at verse 3, set thou thy trust upon the Lord, and be thou doing good, and so thou in the land shalt dwell and verily have food. Delight thyself in God, he'll give thine heart's desire to thee. Thy way to God commit, him trust it bring to pass shall he. And like unto the light he shall thy righteousness display, and he thy judgments shall bring forth like noontide of the day. Rest in the Lord and patiently wait for him. Do not fret for him who, prospering in his way, success in sin doth get. Psalm 37 from verse 3 through to 7, four stanzas. Set thou thy trust upon the Lord. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship, communion, and blessing of the Holy Spirit,